Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, the impeccable Ipsy Ed Bondarenko.
Hey, man. Good to see you back. It is so good to have you back. Don't leave again, please. I can't take the hate mail.
It's good to be back. Did you get any hate mail?
No, I didn't.
I was going to say, come on. How could you get hate mail from this show of all people? Come on. We are full of love and health and happiness on this show, right? Derek, don't shake your head, Derek. You know it's not true, right? Okay, well, welcome to The Drift, and what we do every Saturday on The Drift is talk about the news.
You need to know.
Really? 2 weeks out, and you already screwed it up. How'd you do
the
that?
The news?
I didn't finish. TheDailyDrift.com. Now.
The news you need to know.
There you go. Man, I can't leave you alone for
headsets.
2 weeks.
You were right. They didn't work right. There was an echo delay in there. You're right.
Yes. Well, welcome back, and thank you all for tuning in. It's had 2 weeks off, one for the holiday and one for some personal business. And thank you so much for you and Linda for filling in for me. It was awesome.
No problem. It was fun. We did it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. That's right. We just do it after.
I think some people were afraid that you weren't coming back. So I want to encourage everybody. You won't be subjected to that much more. Gary's going to be here. We're going to chain him in, drag him in, get the police after
Sometimes him. You got to take a little time off. You know what I mean? I work 5 days a week, right? And then I have to come in and do this job on Saturdays.
And you prep for it through the week.
And I
you
prep
do the drift. You do the drift.com. The dailydrift.com.
Yes. Yeah, so if you're not going to thedailydrift.com, do it. It's the news you
need to know.
Yes, exactly. So, and let's take care of our sponsor this half hour. It's Burroughs Roadhouse. If you're looking for something to do tonight, Saturday, out in West Brighton, 5311 Brighton Road, you can call 810-227-6000. Burroughs Roadhouse has some great entertainment. They've got great food. They pour a mean drink. And it's really a great atmosphere, one of the best restaurants I've ever been to for atmosphere.
It's a destination.
It is a destination restaurant. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. 810-227-6000. Call them up. You might need to make reservations. And they do some comedy shows, and they do music occasionally. And you just got to kind of get in there and see what's happening. And you can find coupons. They even do a Sunday brunch, $15 for a Sunday brunch in the Current, CourantOnline.com. Check it out. You can pull coupons right out for all our advertisers there. But Burroughs Roadhouse, West Brighton, destination restaurant for sure. 810-227-6000. Okay, so we're going to start out with Steinle, right? Mm. The case that has outraged America.
Mm.
And I think you obviously are, this hits home for you, right?
So yes, it does.
You've got something that you want to talk about. And I encourage listeners to call in. We want your opinion. 734-822-1600.
Been away a while.
I've been away a while. I'm off my game a little bit. Let's start with Derek. Do you have track three? Let's just get everyone up to speed with what happened with Garcia Zarate, who was found not guilty.
Acquitted undocumented immigrant Jose Inez Garcia Zarate on the most serious charges, murder and manslaughter. The only conviction, felony possession of a firearm. Tonight, the reaction is pouring in from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. Andrea Borba begins our team coverage. She was in the courtroom when the verdict came down. Tonight, she's on Pier 14, where Kate Steinle was killed. Andrea?
Elizabeth, Ken, this story began here on July 1st, 2015. Tonight, a small crowd has gathered here on Pier 14. They are lighting candles and putting up flags near where Kate Steinle was killed following today's stunning verdict in the Hall of Justice.
6 days of deliberation in the case of Jose Inez Garcia Zarate ended with a hug between the suspect and his public defender, Matt Gonzalez. 2 years after Kate Steinle was killed on Pier 14, the only guilty verdict for Mr. Zarate was for being a felon in possession of a firearm.
The verdict that came in today was not one we were hoping for.
Public defender Matt Gonzalez argued that the gun went off accidentally before a bullet ricocheted off the concrete pier and struck Steinle in the back. It was the first time a ricochet bullet case was charged as a first-degree murder in San Francisco.
Okay. So that was actually the first time that I heard that it was a ricochet bullet. I'd never heard that before. In all these months of this case happening from day one, I'd never heard before that it was a ricochet bullet.
Yes, and it hadn't been emphasized, but I had heard it a few times where I was aware of it. But what I hadn't heard of until recently was that there were supposedly three shots fired. And then actually Tucker Carlson had somebody on his show the other night, and he mentioned three shots, and she corrected him. And I think she's an expert on the case, and she said, no, there was only one shot fired. I've heard other people say three shots.
Okay.
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, and part of this goes in. So we don't, you know, as the average Joes, we didn't hear all the testimony. We don't have all that. We can obviously look it up. I can't because I just don't have time.
I tried. I couldn't.
So I kind of want to reserve some of mine, and that may – people may say, Gary, where are you at on this? Well, I'm not privy to all the information. I don't have it with me, so
I can't.
Well,
you weren't a juror.
I wasn't a juror.
But the jurors didn't get all the information either.
Yeah. So they nailed him on being a felon in possession of a firearm, right?
Yeah.
I still believe he's guilty of manslaughter. Accident, no accident, it's manslaughter. And maybe, I don't know, first, second, third, I'm not an expert when it comes to the degrees of murder.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more than that. Maybe not first degree murder.
There's involuntary.
Okay. But it's definitely manslaughter. And how these rubes in San Francisco could not have at least done him on manslaughter. There was not justice applied in this case, period. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I feel that way. 100%. I was telling you the story earlier. You want me to tell you now?
Yes. And bring people up to speed on on the possession of felony firearm.
All right. So what happened is years ago, my son was involved in what you might consider a lab experiment, like I did when I was younger, and I did not encourage him in this, but we played with black powder and we blew things up, and nobody said anything. It was a rural area. Well, my son did that shortly after the Murrah building. And he and a number of people got arrested. So
Murrah building, Oklahoma bombing.
Oklahoma bombing.
So people know.
Right. So people were sensitive. And at the same time, shortly after, some kids were doing the same thing in Saline, and something about train wrecking. Supposedly they were trying to do some train wrecking. My son was not involved in that, let's be clear. But he and some friends were building pipe bombs and blowing them off. I'm not saying he was totally an innocent person or anything, but he went to prison for a year and a half, so he became a convicted felon. He was 18. He had just turned 18, so didn't go juvenile on it. So 10 years later, another kid that was involved with that, who had gone on to become a career criminal after his arrest and conviction and incarceration, met up with my son and encouraged him to engage in an illegal event where they actually – the guy knew a guy who had a gun collection, and the guy he knew stole the guns. My son stored them for him and was involved with their transfer. And there was an informant. The feds had an informant. So basically they were selling to an informant. I just reviewed a few days ago for other reasons. I just reviewed all the transcripts and the sentencing guidelines. This is very important. Sentencing guidelines. There are guidelines for sentencing. And actually, they wanted to give my son 20 years as it is. He got 10. So as part of his getting 10 years in the Fed program, nobody died. There was not a shot fired. And yet he got this for felon in possession and also the fact that a crime was committed with during the commission of a theft of firearms, but also it was mostly firearm felon possession. And that's where this guy, Zapata is his name?
Zarate.
Zarate.
Yes.
Okay, so this guy was a felon in possession, definitely involuntary manslaughter at the very least. And the guy gets off on basically time served 2 years, and my son is still in prison. Yeah. I'm a little bit upset about this.
Right. Right. This is a travesty of justice any way you look at it. Now, even if he did not intentionally aim and shoot at the young lady, you're still guilty of possession.
Yeah.
Of holding. And don't tell me he just picked it up and found it.
He didn't just pick it up.
Right? You were in possession. You probably bought it or stole it. Whatever he did, he's still responsible.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm glad that it looks like the DOJ now is going to do prosecute him federally as opposed to letting the state handle it.
But the terms they were prosecuting him on, I believe, were more immigration-related from what I heard, and they weren't firearms, which is what I don't understand. We're talking about felon, firearms. This should have been a federal prosecution right from the first.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a travesty. It really is. So, well, my condolences to you.
Oh, thanks.
And justice is not always fair, and sometimes our kids do things.
I mean,
It is what it is. But, well, Joe wants to call and talk about, obviously, the Senate race, Debbie Stabenow, which we're now all seeing the commercials starting on television. And, Joe, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Joe
thanks.
Show.
Thanks. Yeah, you're seeing the chemical industry and the Home Builders Union put out a completely manure-filled ad for Debbie Stabenow. That's what you were referring to. It's all over local TV. Just complete garbage that she's putting Michigan first. But I'm calling mainly for two things, the Conyers sex scandal and the tax reform. First, the sex scandal. Debbie Stabenow said, sexual harassment is always unacceptable. I support the news is deeply disturbing. I support a full review of congressional sexual harassment policies and procedures and actions to address this serious problem. In other words, she wants to bury it in committee until such time as it can blow over.
Yes, that's exactly right. Because that's what Debbie Stabenow does. Her and Gary Peters will always follow the Democratic Party line. They will do whatever it takes to protect Democrats, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and yet do nothing for the people of the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing. So people, for God's sake, this year, or 2018, do not vote for Debbie Stabenow. Please. She is ruining our country, and she's going to ruin the state of Michigan if she continues. So you've got to get away from voting for Debbie Stabenow.
She and Peters voted She and Peters voted against tax relief for the voters of the state of Michigan. That's what they did.
Yep.
I was going to get to that. I want to still finish with Conyers and Franken. Obviously, she's in the Senate, so Franken's more related. But everyone remembers Todd Corser and Cindy Gamrat railroaded out of Lansing because it was alleged they may have misused office funds to further their affair. Yet it's on record that Conyers had used his office federal funds to fly in bimbos for sex into D.C. Where is their demand for the same justice and expulsion for misuse of funds?
Yeah, well, you're not going to get it because the Democrats will protect John Conyers. He's an icon, according to Pelosi, who then flip-flopped and said he should resign.
Yeah, well, Pelosi has no problem with him resigning because she knows that Detroit's just going to elect another Democrat in her his place. So it's no big worry there.
Possibly Monica, a convicted felon.
Yeah, there you go. Well, of course,
They'll pull the same thing that
Debbie Dingell.
Yeah, we'll keep that in the princess seat or whatever they want to call it there. Or it'll end up being Coleman Young Jr., right?
Yep, Debbie Dingell's the same thing. Not willing to hold anyone accountable, but of course they shot their mouth off about Roy Moore. Now, the tax reform, of course, it will surprise no one that Stabenow and Peters both voted no for tax cuts, no to economic growth. But it's even worse than that for people who are a member of my group, which you are, Thanks a Lot, Debbie, not Facebook group, to help retire, fight and retire, Debbie. You know that not only has she tried to not vote against simplification, she introduced legislation to further complicate it. People are starving in this country. People are homeless. People need clothes. And what did she want to do? She wanted to give her rich Democrat friends a tax deduction for funding the arts. Let's not give to charity to feed or clothe or house people. She wants to fund the arts and give a tax break for that, further complicating the code.
Yeah, more hypocrisy for the Democrats. Well, you're spot on, Joe. It's good to hear from you again. Good to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are back. And it was a good, Ed did a good job of editing last week's show for the tape. It was good to hear the Linda interview again. It's nice that Wham is a Whamily. It's good to know about Linda, the owner, It's not some nameless, faceless board that, you know, runs and operates
right.
most radio stations.
Yeah,
it's
no.
a nice, real human.
Yeah, we are a human and a family here at this radio station.
Next week, I interview Gary.
nobody wants to know about Gary.
All right, take care, guys. Love you.
Take care,
See
Joe.
You.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
All right, so let's move on to our Flint, because we're going to have Congressman Tim Walberg on at the bottom of the hour, right?
Yeah.
Allegedly, he's going to call in. Normally, he's pretty good about it, so we'll see him. But I wanted to go to Flint. Right?
Yes.
Because the giant nothing burger that is the Flynn pleading guilty to lying to the FBI.
Wait a minute. He's going to bring the whole Trump administration down on top of him.
Let me ask this simple question. Since when is lying in Washington, D.C. a crime? Right? Since when? Well,
I'm sorry, the question
D.C.
is when is it prosecuted?
Yeah.
When it's a Republican.
All right. So let's bring everyone up to speed. Derek, let's start with track one there. That's just start it right at the beginning.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller has charged President Trump's former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn with willfully and knowingly making false, fictitious, and fraudulent statements to the FBI about his conversations with Russia's ambassador. Mueller's office made the announcement on Friday morning. According to the special counsel, Flynn lied when he told investigators that he did not ask Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak to, quote, refrain from escalating the situation in response to sanctions that then-President Obama had applied against the Russian Federation, and that he did not ask the ambassador to either delay or defeat a related UN Security Council vote. The plea deal is the latest indication that Flynn is cooperating with Mueller's investigation, analysts say.
Okay. So, after that was revealed yesterday, I don't know if anyone saw Joy Behar on that show on whatever it is.
The View?
The View, right? So, oh, we've got him. He's,
the only thing
Trump
I know about the news.
Trump told him to call, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, you fat piece of crap. What is wrong with you?
Hey, man, you're disparaging fat people. Watch out.
Well, lose some weight if that's what I take. I'm just saying.
I'll lose some weight.
Like, dude, you are not fat, please. Anyways, but I mean, the sheer joy and stupidity that this woman showed yesterday on
always.
That show.
You mean oh, just
well,
then?
Always. But on yesterday, I was just like, really? You moron? And then it wasn't but 20 minutes later that ABC had to retract, right, their statement because mm-hmm. they twisted it in a way that was anti-Trump and then had to correct themselves, once again showing that the mainstream media are a bunch of liars and fake news, right? And then even after that, later on in the day, breaking news, the Obama administration reportedly approved. Obama administration reportedly approved General Flynn's calls with the Russian ambassador, Kislyak. So come on, there's nothing here, folks. There's nothing here.
You know, the thing is the only thing that's there is this is like a Scooter Libby moment where Scooter Libby did not, and if, look it up, Google it. But Scooter Libby didn't do anything wrong that justified him being prosecuted, except when the FBI asked him a question, he lied to the FBI, so he did prison time. And why did he lie to the FBI? Whether it was a misspoke or a nervousness or something, the guy did nothing wrong. He had no reason to lie. Flynn had no reason to lie, but he may have been trying to just deflect criticism from the Trump administration. He didn't do anything wrong to lie about. But he lied to the FBI. Crime. Right. Now, any normal prosecutorial administration would say, you know what? There's nothing here. Let it go. His lie had no meaning. It didn't influence anything. It didn't deflect any other investigation, you know, against a criminal party. No, it's leverage against him to try and get somebody
right.
else.
Right. And that,
it worked.
And it did work because, you know, imagine putting yourself in the position of General Flynn, who's not a rich man, but he's not
right.
like a congressman.
Oh,
who's
he's
been
hurting financially now.
He's hurting. And he finally said, you know what? Enough. I'm just going to say I'm guilty of that because that's all you've got on me. I'm guilty of that. Do whatever you've got to do. And, of course, the media wants to blow it up and say he's going to turn on the Trump administration. You know what? He doesn't have anything on the
all
Trump administration.
All he had to do was say I will cooperate.
Yep.
And you know what the cooperation is? Nah, I don't know.
Don't know anything.
Nope.
It's like Paul Manafort. They found nothing except some money laundering on Paul Manafort from Ukraine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, not related to the Trump people. And this is
Manafort did some wrong things, but it was unrelated
to. It's unrelated. Exactly. And this is all Mueller's got after all this time. He's hired, 14 or 20 lawyers? And each of these lawyers have got to be making 150 to 200 grand, folks. Let's be honest.
Exactly. And they asked last night. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the money and the staff and the time and the effort they're putting. We're spending millions and millions of dollars. And this is what you come up with? That guy lied. That's the crime that you're spending all this money trying to prosecute? Really?
Sherry asked me last night, well, how long is this going to go on? I says, until he's got enough money. Because this guy has got a job that is paying him and his cronies money. Yeah. And how would you like to have a job that paid you that kind of money and that when the job ended depended on when you said it ended? Where's your incentive to stop?
Right. Yeah.
You have none.
Well, I you know, people want to tell me, Gary, put your tinfoil hat on, blah, 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 right? Tinfoil hat Gary, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the only one, because you know who, the biggest name in radio, also believes that there's a little conspiracy action going on with the timing of this super-duper got-caught-lying charge, right? Mm-hmm. Track two, Derek, you got this? This is Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, I thought you meant Theron. Biggest name in radio. I don't know.
Biggest name in radio. It's got to be Rush, hands down. No, okay. Fans are nuts about it. Go ahead and play.
So there you have it. They're all excited. Mueller did the deed on the right day. Mueller did the deed to sweep the tax cut deal off the table and to tick everybody off. This is, in Jonathan Martin's opinion, the swamp banding together, the establishment coordinating its efforts to continue to destroy Trump and muddy the waters. The tax bill is going to pass. And as far as McConnell and Ryan are concerned, none of this today is a legal problem. It's a bit of a political problem, but it doesn't present any legal problems to them or their tax bill. The tax bill is going to pass. But I don't have any doubt that the timing of this thing today may not be coincidental. Because look at all of the news that it swept off the front pages, and look at what it put back on the front page. Trump colluded with the Russians to steal the election from Hillary.
Yeah. So once again, it's garbage. It's a nothing burger. There is absolutely nothing here that is relevant to the Trump administration working with Russia. In the meantime, you've got Hillary Clinton with valid proof, Uranium One scandal, Bill Clinton getting money from the Russians.
Yeah.
And yet nobody is touching them. Mr. Mueller, I don't, you know, part of me says this is all kind of a ruse because he's a Republican, right? Allegedly, Rhino, whatever you want to call him. Is he pushing this in a way to lead back to the Clintons and this is just dragging it out until 2018?
Show fairness. Okay, I looked at this. Now let's move on to that. Wouldn't that be sweet?
Wouldn't that be sweet?
Oh,
I don't know.
He's still my beating heart.
I doubt it. I believe that Robert Mueller is a swamp creature. He's part of that D.C. establishment who wants to stop Trump from doing what's right for the American people.
Remember, I thought Comey might have good motivations at one time.
Comey. Well, I mean, you want to talk about lies.
I'm a bit Pollyannish sometimes.
How about lying Comey? Let's put him on trial or charge him with something. How about Hillary?
Dereliction of duty. He should have put her in jail and he didn't.
John Clapper or John Brennan, Clapper. Hillary, Susan Rice, Lynch. Let's get them all. If lying has now become a chargeable offense, let's charge people.
Well, I want to see why hasn't Sessions talked about, well, I'm going to have the Justice Department report to me about whether they should be a special counsel looking into uranium.
All right. Let's see if we can get Todd on before the end of the show, at the end of the hour here. Hey, Todd, how are you doing?
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Good, good. What do you got, Todd?
Hey, what I got? Well, we all need to go back and take a look at Mueller, because who was the FBI director during Uranium One?
Robert
Mueller.
Yes.
Yep. So when is Trump going to fire this guy? I mean, Trump's got every bit of information he needs to be able to fire this guy under his executive program. He doesn't have to wait. He can get rid of this guy.
Yeah, I'll put this, because people always want to say Trump's an idiot, Trump's an idiot, Trump's an idiot. I do not believe that Trump is an idiot. I believe that Donald Trump is three moves ahead of any of these people. And I think he'll get rid of Mueller when he's good and ready. Or he's going to let him. You know what? Trump knows. what's there and what's not there.
He knows, and he's a strategist, so yeah. I'm kind of thinking that's what's going on here.
And a strategist doesn't look like a brain surgeon, doesn't want to look like a brain surgeon. He wants to look like an idiot.
Great call, Todd. We'll see you guys all on the other side of the break.
On the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. The Senate hands a president a win by passing a tax reform bill.
The GOP hailed its permanent reduction of the corporate tax rate from 35 to 20%. They also pointed to a modest 10-year cut for individuals. An official estimate says the bill would add more than $1 trillion to the deficit, but Republican leaders say that doesn't take into account the massive growth the bill would unleash.
Fox's Caroline Shively, the vote was 51 to 49. The bill now heads to the House for reconciliation. The president reacts to former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn pleading guilty to lying to the FBI in the Russian collusion investigation.
This past hour, the president tweeted, "I had to fire General Flynn because he lied to the vice president and the FBI. He has pled guilty to those lies. It is a shame because his actions during the transition were lawful. There was nothing to hide."
Fox's Garrett Tenney. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of the Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
It was excellent. It wasn't only just the physical part of it, doing your exercises with them. It was the RNs, even down to the kitchen people that came in and said, "What can we fix you? What do you like? We'll try to do it for you." And everything with a smile, I couldn't get over. I would heartily recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
Thank you.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to catch the drift. Joining me in the studio, it's Ed Bondarenka.
Howdy.
Yeah, good to have you along, man. I'm glad to be back. I feel good. You know, this is my catharsis, my venting every week. Instead of paying a therapist, I get to come in here and unleash upon you. So thank you for putting up with me. And Derek. Yes, thank you, sir. Okay, well, let's take care of our sponsor this half hour, J&M Landscaping LLC Tree Division. Winter is here. Believe it or not, despite the warm weather outside right now, you're going to get snow and ice. Get those trees down. Get them trimmed up. Do what you got to do. 248-640-7029. J&M Landscaping can get those trees down for a reasonable price. Free estimates, senior citizen and military discounts available, 248-640-7029. And there's a 20% off coupon for first-time customers in the current C-O-U-R-A-N-T-Online.com. Go there and pull that coupon off or just let Jason know, 248-640-7029.
You know, with the leaves gone, look up into those trees. Look for the big hanging branches that are dangling there.
Yep.
They're called widowmakers.
Yes, sir.
You know, and when you see them, call J&M, ask them to take them down before they come down at an inopportune moment.
Yes, and the insurance company is not going to be very happy with you. All right, so we're going to talk to 7th District U.S. Michigan Congressman Tim Walberg. Tim, welcome to the show.
Yoo-hoo.
Hey, good to be with you on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, well, congrats, Tim, to you and Speaker Ryan and Speaker McConnell for getting through those next steps and getting us that much closer to tax reform. So it's got to be a good feeling, right?
Well, it is a good feeling. We had a better feeling about it that we were going to ultimately get to it. And for the most part, all we wanted to see the Senate do was to move something out so we could get to a conference committee and work out the differences. Happily, it doesn't appear that there's huge differences between the two parties. There are several things I'd like to see fixed and altered from the Senate proposal, but the repeal of the individual mandate, it's almost hard to believe that they were able to keep that in and pass it with the needed votes necessary. That is the, as it were, the iron stake driven into the Affordable Care Act's heart.
Right.
So that's a big deal, and the House, I believe we will be all too willing to keep that in.
Yeah, and that's been odd, Tim, because as I watched the news this morning, I did not see that as a major headline in the tax reform news that they were talking about. And you think it's on purpose? They don't want people to know about it, or they're just kind of running over it? It wasn't like a prominent part of the news cycle this morning.
Yeah, I think they're running over it. The Affordable Care Act has melted down so much that it's hard to defend it. I've seen some reports saying that this will reduce still further the people that have insurance. Of course, they don't tell you the truth. That's AP talking. They don't tell you the truth that all it does is says that they can't be mandated and forced into picking insurance that doesn't work for them. It doesn't say that the people won't still try to find some insurance purchase. They just don't have that un-American mandate on that never happened in the history of the United States that we required somebody to purchase health care or anything else. So, yeah, it's amazing, and the Senate got it through, and we're going to keep moving forward because that may also give us the opportunity to go back to something like Graham-Cassidy with the Senate and pass the repeal and replace of Obamacare as well.
Okay. So, Tim, does this go into effect now? And I was watching. They were talking like in 2019 then. So when we're doing our 2018 taxes, that's when these new rules will apply. It's not going to apply this spring when we do our taxes for 2017, no, correct?
No, yeah, for April 15th, tax filings, it will be under the old law. But as you prepare the withholdings for this coming tax year, 2018, you will see the decreased tax taken out of the paycheck. And I think that's the important thing for your listeners to know, that you begin to see the impact almost immediately as you prepare for next year.
Tim?
The Senate's plan, however, on the corporate C-Corp tax cuts, those won't take place till the end of 2019. Now, that's something I don't understand, and I think that'll be part of the negotiations in the conference committee. Because we gave corporations and S-Corps, pass-through businesses, small businesses, we gave them the same benefit that would start with the 2018 tax year. So,
yeah, why wouldn't they, Tim? Because you know what? If for your own selfish reasons, as politicians, you guys should want the corporate part to go into effect this 2018 so that you see the effect and you get a better chance of being reelected. I don't understand what McConnell and the Senate Republicans are thinking.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Is that budget?
Talking with the majority whip of the Senate, my friend Roy Blunt, I asked him about that a couple weeks ago, why in the world they would go that route. He gave me some explanation that dealt with the permanence of the repeal of the individual mandate. But I, in all honesty, I did not understand and told him so afterwards. And he said, of course, that'd be part of negotiations. But, you know, I don't get it, other than the fact to get a few additional dollars to give opportunities for other cuts. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but yeah, that will be a negotiated thing.
Yeah, it means if it gives me a better chance to get rid of Debbie Stabenow, right? If the economy is booming because of Republicans, because of Trump, it gives us a leg up getting rid of Debbie Stabenow here in this state. For crying out loud, senators, if you want another Republican in the Senate, do it now. Let's get this done. If you want to have 60 votes in the Senate, then doggone it, get that corporate tax through starting 2018 so that people go, love the Republicans voting for them in 2018.
Yeah. No, I think the better chance we have of all the people and all the classes, economic classes, to see what this does and actually see that what the media has been talking about and certainly what the Democrats have been saying is absolutely false. And historically, I mean, just looking historically, these type of tax cuts always bear a positive results, and that's why the stock market has had a huge climb since the beginning of the year because of the optimism that's going forward with the regulatory cuts that we've done already and putting ourselves back on track there now with a true tax reform that will do nothing but spur the economy. And when the economy spurred, all the rest of the citizens are impacted in a positive way as well.
Hey, Tim. How many brackets? Didn't the House come about with three brackets, and the Senate, the last I heard, was it six or seven?
Seven. We came with four, and they came with seven. Our top rate was 39.6. That was for millionaires and above.
Oh, I'm out. Okay.
The Senate, Gary's in. The Senate has seven rates with a top bracket of 38.5. But when you actually look at them, in the end, it does almost the same because we both have a zero bracket. That's those that we're at 10% going now to zero. So in the end, when you look at it, it's a little more complex with having the brackets, but for the most part, the same benefit comes from it.
What do you think gets changed in the, the conference?
Conference report? Well, I think one of the things certainly will be the discussions about the C-Corps and why we would give them their tax break in the 2019 as opposed to 2018 year. That will certainly be something. I think we'll talk about mortgage interest deduction. We lowered the cap to $500,000 while the Senate kept it at $1 million. Really when you have people that have the standard deduction increased for an individual from $6,000 to $12,000 and families from $12,000 to $24,000, this won't mean much to them anyway. When you get into the Hamptons, for instance, and people buying these huge homes, that might make a difference. But for the majority of people, it's not going to make that much. The estate tax is something we'll negotiate on the size of that, the exemption that's there. Pass-through rates for small businesses, I think what the Senate did because of Ron Johnson may make it a little bit better, and that's something I think we'll negotiate towards. But when we get to SALT, state and local tax deduction, I think that's something that we will have to negotiate because there'll be a real push from some of the Northeastern and California legislators. Whether they will accept what's been done here or not, I'm not certain. But
yeah, I, for me, Tim, I'd hate to lose that deduction. However, When I look at the big picture for me, I don't know that it saves me that much money. I understand that California, New York, and Connecticut, Rhode Island, those people have super high taxes. Well, that's on you, folks.
Hey, the pressure will be on them.
The pressure will be on them to fix it. Like Patrick Colbeck right here running for governor has a plan for the state of Michigan. If anybody would listen to him, to reduce and eventually eliminate Michigan income tax. And it's just common sense. Patrick Colbeck knows how to do this. And if everyone would follow his lead, we wouldn't need those state taxes, income taxes like that.
Yeah, and I think it galls a lot of us that we have to pay the freight for states that waste their taxpayers' money, like New York, New Jersey, California, Illinois.
Yep, we're giving them a pass.
That would be a battle. The other battle I think is worth fighting is the AMT. The AMT is just put in place so that once you file your figure taxes out, then you do it a second time, and all it's done is to try to get more money from the taxpayer for the federal government. The Senate kept the AMT on corporations. They also raised exemption for individual AMT. The House repealed them both, and I think that's the direction we want to go, so that'll be negotiated as well. But in the end, this, as I've said all along, is not a one and done. Let's get the best we can, get it to the president for signing, see the economy begin to take off because of that.
And then tackle more next year and the year after.
Tackle more.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I was really – the other thing that ticked me off was like Bob Corker. Now, I understand it may be a good intention. Oh, it's adding to the debt. Where were you, Bob Corker, for the last 8 years standing up telling Obama that you're raising $10 trillion? Because what is this, $1.2 trillion over 10 years, Tim?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to, but $1.4 is what they're saying. However, that's not being dynamically scored.
Right.
That's not taken into consideration
the growth.
The good growth that'll take place because of doing things, good things for the economy, for all people.
Yeah, but that's over 10 years, right? $1.4 trillion over 10 years?
Over 10 years.
Yeah, we did that every year with Obama.
Every year. Every year. And so when I tell people, listen, you're getting this new anti-deficit talking point coming from the same party that didn't mind seeing $10 trillion increased over 8 years because of Obama. And so don't give me this stuff about wanting to be deficit hawks now.
Yes.
When in the past you increased and allowed this president to increase the debt by this exact same amount that it took every other president, Democrat and Republican, since Washington up to Obama to create. So in the end, though, when the economy grows, if we do something that we haven't done for a few years, if we as Congress will discipline ourselves to not spend all the revenue increase, but in fact give more benefit back to the private sector, we won't have the deficit produced, and that's just a matter of history.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, Tim, did you have another question on that?
Well, he talked about going on to next year, but I'm going to ask a question that may embarrass myself here. The tax bill, that's different than the budget, right?
Yeah, that's different than the budget.
So good. I'm not embarrassing myself. So you're going on to the budget next, right?
No, we're going on to the appropriation, the spending plan. Unlike in the Michigan legislature, when we pass a budget, it's basically all rolled into the appropriations package. How we do it in Congress, you have a budget that the House passes, the Senate passes, and we don't have to have the president sign that. The president sends us his budget, but generally we don't do anything with that. In this case, we have passed a budget in order to get the reconciliation opportunity. And so we're using reconciliation because of a budget that's in place that sets a pattern. But because of that, we were able to, in the House, to pass 12 appropriations bills on time in budget, keeping with our budget plan that was in place. That's sitting over in the Senate right now. What we're asking now is that the Senate would take up our bills that we've already done through regular order with 1,000 amendments that were considered, two of which were my amendments that were passed. They have that bill. We want them to move it forward, and that's the next step that we want to do. Most likely next week we'll come back and we'll pass a short-term two-week CR, so it forces us to come back by the 22nd of December and then push forward a budget with a cap that we have in place for the rest of the budget cycle.
Okay, so can the Senate do this with 51 votes, or do they have to go 60?
on this, they're going to have to go 60. So it's going to force us. It's going to force us to keep the feet on the fire of the Democrats. And right now, they're saying that it's going to shut government down. Well, fortunately, we have a president now that's willing to sign the budget, the appropriations package, the spending plan, unlike Obama. So when we push things forward, he said he'd veto. This president says, send it to me. I'll sign it. We have two houses that want to send a budget that's within our spending caps and also does entitlement reform and does away with some mandatory expenditure areas. So the only one that can stop this from taking place is not the Republicans, not the Republican leadership. It's Chuck Schumer. And I think the American people, even with the national media trying to cover it a bit, ultimately it's going to be very apparent that there are two houses that are attempting the work to get a spending plan to the president, and a president who's willing to sign it, and the only one standing in the way is Chuck Schumer.
But couldn't Mitch McConnell just finally take that step and say, you know what, if you're going to obstruct like this and shut down the government, we're going to 51 votes?
Yep, he could.
And he won't.
That's the pressure we want to put on Mitch McConnell and the Senate as well. But Mitch has to have the support of senators as well, like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and Lee, who thus far have said that they do not want to do this type of nuclear option because they might be back in a minority sometime and will need
planning
it.
Planning for failure.
You're planning for failure. That's exactly right.
And I said to them, you're talking like a minority already if you accept that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I can see Rubio, who's a coward anyways, mm-hmm. doing that. But I don't see Mike Lee and Ted Cruz being cowards. And it just drives me insane. So I want to tell all our Twitter people, between Ed and Tim and you and I, let's get our Twitter people, start Twittering or tweeting out to Cruz and Lee and these other Republican senators and say, go to 51 votes for crying out loud. Use your guts.
I don't understand. Tim, I thought fiscal matters fell under reconciliation.
No, only one bill a year do you have reconciliation.
Well, I asked you that a couple months ago, and yeah. I guess misunderstood.
Yeah, we've chosen to use – reconciliation can only have statutory spending or budget areas, and that's why we're using it for this tax reform, because it deals with budgetary and expenditure areas. But you can only use it once. But
I thought we were using it to replace and repeal earlier. Is it because we didn't get to use it? It's still available now, or what?
No, we did use it for that, and we failed.
So it's still available.
We've got another budget year coming up. We're going to push through another budget. And that's going to be used, hopefully, for the repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, it was a shame to have wasted it with the health care, the first health care repeal and replace. And the reason it was wasted, because John McCain wouldn't give us that final vote.
Yeah.
And that's a sad state of affairs. But we live with that, and we move on, get this thing done, which is huge, getting a tax reform plan signed by the president. And I think we'll get that done within the next couple weeks, two and a half weeks, and then go on with a health care reform plan. The president wants to do that, and we're open to doing that. And so that'll be the next round of reconciliation that will be used. Let me also add something that I think you'll be interested to hear before we run out of time. We talked the last time I was on, and I know Theron has been talking about the reciprocity for concealed carry.
Yes.
The legislation that I've co-sponsored with Rick Hudson from North Carolina.
HB 38?
That bill is scheduled to come up this next week for a vote in the House. And we're glad to see it. We whipped it this past week to see if the support was there. It's out of committee. Judiciary Committee has sent it out. It's tied to another bill that gave us the necessary votes, but it's a bill that I personally, as I've looked at it, doesn't do anything except require some record reporting on gun laws and the uses of gun laws, and specifically the immediate background check. So it's not something that will cause us problem, and it allows us to move this bill forward, the reciprocity bill, which is really a necessity to make sure that all of the states in the union that have separate concealed carry, like Michigan, that if I have one in Michigan, as long as it's legal, I can carry it in any other state in the union.
And, do I get to go to Chicago?
Yeah.
Or New Jersey?
or New Jersey or any place in the union.
Not just other states with concealed carry.
Okay. Permit for Michigan.
Thank you.
You have reciprocity.
Yeah, but you guys can pass it, but then it goes to the Senate and will die because
Mitch
they don't
McConnell
have 60
won't
votes.
Push
right?
51. Yeah.
Well, that's again where the tweeting and the pressure has to be put on it because this is the process we have, and the House is figuring a way to do it, and the Senate's going to have to figure it as well. And because of the second bill that's in, it makes it much more difficult for the senators to say that it's not a legitimate bill.
Yeah, and that's again goes back to state of Michigan people, listeners, you know, especially you gun owners, get out, make sure we get Debbie Stabenow unelected and get Bob Young Jr. in there because there's one more vote, puts us closer to 60 because Mitch McConnell won't use hashtag 51 votes.
Yeah,
it drives me crazy. So, Tim, before we leave, I'm gonna hit you like I always do. Worrying about North Korea, worrying about Iran, even if you want to worry about Russia, which is not top of my list being worried about, EMP protection for the grid. Is there a way to move that forward in 2018?
Well, in our National Defense Authorization Act, there's money in that NDAA for EMP as well.
Okay.
And that's one of those bills that sits over in the Senate.
once again, and that's what just drives me absolutely insane. You've got a guy like Mitch McConnell who is so gutless, him and the rest of the Republicans who are worried about having it. You know what? If you pass all these laws and get them done, everything that you've done in the House gets passed in the Senate, you will not have to worry about being in the minority in 2018, 2020, 2022. The Democrats will be done. Pass the agenda you've done in the House, in the Senate,
absolutely,
and you will not ever have to worry about these Democrats for a generation.
And even if you did, at least you'd have done some good that would be hard to undo.
Bingo. Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. Well, Tim, thank you so much for calling in and updating us, and we'll talk to you again next month. And if you ever have something you want to call in earlier than our monthly meetings, give us a call.
Look forward to it, and thanks so much. If we don't talk, just have a great Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you too, Tim. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right, take care. All right, there you go. So our update.
See, we didn't even ask him about Conyers. We went through a whole conversation.
You know, I'm so done with this Conyers thing. You know, just retire already, Mr. Conyers. You and your criminal family. And, yeah, not that it really makes a difference because we've already said that, right? Like Joe said, we're going to end up with another criminal like Coleman Young or his wife Monica. And the people of Detroit are just going to go ahead and vote for him because.
But hopefully we won't get a committed communist this time, you know?
All right, so Derek, how many minutes we got left? Oh, 1 minute. Look at that. We pulled it that close. Well, I want to thank everybody who filled in for me over the last 2 weeks. I do want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I think we'll probably miss a show sometime around Christmas. We'll have to – maybe we'll try and pre-record a little Christmas show. You ever hear me sing?
Oh, no.
What?
Hey, but I'm good at editing. Everybody said – Joe said I'm good at editing.
Maybe you got that thing you can make me sound like Britney Spears.
Yeah, there you go.
She sings like crap too, but, you know, that's the way it is. They make it sound good after a while. What do they call that, Derek? I can't remember anyways.
Sound improver. I can't remember.
You don't want to hear me sing.
It's a pitch changer. That's all it is, a pitch changer.
All right. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com, and we'll see you next Saturday. Take care.